Are we talking about the betochen one has in relationship to other people? People that he's obligated, that he has chiyuvim to them, to provide them with what he needs to provide them with. So first of all, you have to daven to Hashem that they don't call you more tear than trouble than they can. And then you have to do what you have to do, understanding that it's a chiyuv. You have to feed them, you have to take care of them, you have to give them what they need. You have to help them to serve Hashem properly. It's essentially the kiyum of after Achamoicha. Now he says like this: Vilu derech Hashimul Shanochem b'Betochen b'Elokim b'Mashen Agel leichasoy klapei akito itashoynos shel bnei adam. The correct betochen one needs to have klapei the relationships he has with different groups of people. Hey meilu shema amadam oili ma'amadu. I think we might have done this, but it's kedar just as a hakdama to get to the next stage. People that are of a higher standing than him and lower standing than him. Is like this. Kasher yalitz oisa chrech levakesh mashu mibnei adam ma'ilim ma'lov v'ma'amadu. As yiftach b'dova hu al elokav. You need to ask somebody a favor. You need to get something from somebody who's on a, let's say, a higher standing than you. You should have a tochen in Hashem. Ve'yaseh anashim alolu rak le'emtzoi shal yodo yetzoi z'dova l'poel. They are just a means to an end. They're the hishtadlis, emtzoi, just the means. But I have a tochen in Hashem that whatever will come from this will be for the good. And they just kill me shtadlis. Kamoshu says ibuda adoma, the same as a farmer plows the land and plants the seeds. There's a betochen in the land, there's a betochen in the seeds, there's a betochen in Hashem that what's going to go is going to grow. But he has to do the avoidance. The same way going up and asking somebody for a favor, you have to do that. But you have betochen in Hashem. Then yetz avoyer v'fanes yosel al yedei adamo. Az yetz machazer v'yeber v'lo megir adam toid al zeh. You don't have to thank the land. In fact, you should thank the land. Mitzad betochen, you don't have to say thank you for the land because the trees grew or the wheat grew. But a person has to thank HaKadosh Baruch for all the gifts he gives us. One of the gifts he gave us is the land. We have to thank Hashem for that as well. But mitzad betochen, nobody did anything for you except Hashem. And you have to focus the thanks on Hashem. But you also have to thank Hashem for giving you the land and giving you the opportunities and giving you all the beautiful world that he gave us as well. Can't walk around the world being an ingrate either. He has to focus on all the gavaldikha chasarim Hashem done for him and thank him for it. But I'm not thanking the land, I'm thanking Hashem for giving me the land. That's the difference. If you thank Hashem, because all the gifts come from Hashem. Hashem doesn't want him to have panasa from his farming activities. As he lot that's me, it won't grow. Or she tatzmeich ve'ayovel yitkalkel, it'll grow and it'll get messed up, or it'll grow and the prices will crash. Ve'ein la'ashin es adamakach. Don't get cross with the land. Don't get cross with the next door neighbor, with the weather. It's got nothing to do with any of that. It's a kol aboyroilo. And it's the same with any panasa. Any shtadlus that is doing for panasa, prices went up, prices went down. But you think that's not Hashem? Fuck. Ve'chein keshu mevakesh mashu mibnei adam. He thinks he'll ask a person who's very strong, he's got more chance of getting a Mashim Ivakish as a Dovim Yadam Chalash. This is a bit of a kasha because he's talking in the world of Ishtadlis now. The world of Ishtadlis has to look normal. You go ask a guy who can't lift 10 pounds to help you lift a 500 kilo box. What does he mean? I don't know what he means. You're going fundraising, knock on the door of a guy who hasn't got bread in his house, that's called ishtadlus. You want to knock on the door of people that give money and have got money to give. So I don't know why he tells you that makes the difference. You ask from the chazak, you ask from the chalash. The don't know what he means.
It's a Kavanah, it's what he's saying. He's saying because he asked important people, he have more change, but this one is wrong, but he have to ask.
He means in the world, you don't have the world of Betochen, yeah, you say. In the world of Ishtadlis, you've got to ask the wrong person, because that's normally Ishtadlis.
Yes.
But in the world of Betochen, could be, you have to keep mind where he's talking. In the world of Betochen, don't think that this guy can help you any more than that guy. But Avada person has to do whatever he can to minimize the ness. He has to do, means asking somebody who can't do it for help. But that's called Ishtadlis. That's not called Ishtadlis. But you're out there, he's going to get what he's going to get.
It's difficult to disconnect.
That's not difficult. That's the Ik Avoider. That's the hardest thing in the world, of course.
I'm not a robot, I don't know.
From a point of Ishtadlis, how do you know that that person who otherwise normally wouldn't be able to help is the chosen messenger of Hashem to give you what you need?
Oh, so the word of Ishtadlis is you have to make what's called normal Ishtadlis. Don't go to a guy for medical advice who's not trained in medicine. He's not a doctor. He knows nothing. That's not called Ishtadlis. Now, when I went to the doctor, no, you didn't. You went to the dry clean and you asked him for some medical advice. That's not called Ishtadlis.
Gilbert's example of the two types of people to go to. You can go to the poor, or you can go to the rich man.
Depends what you need.
Money.
You need money, so go to the poor, I'm going to help you. That's not called Ishtadlis. Klape Betochen, it makes no difference. That's what he's saying. In the world of Betochen, it makes no difference. You go to the rich guy, you go to the poor guy. It's nothing to do with any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the world of Ishtadlis, to make correct Ishtadlis, you've got to know which door to knock on.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're not going to come in the midst of Ishtadlis. Go to a guy who doesn't have any money to feed himself because you need $1 million to build a building, is that's not called Ishtadlis. You know what I'm saying? You need venture capital for your business. You've got a new startup, you need venture capital. So you get a venture capital fund. You don't go to the guy who's also standing in line to get venture capital. He's not going to help you. But mitzad betochen, the guy standing next to you in the line can help you just as quickly and give you the money just as quickly as the guy standing in the office. That's when you have to know, because it all comes from the Borei Olam. But in the world of Ishtadlis, you have to make proper Ishtadlis. I'm not sure what he's talking about here.
So it's a matter of this.
What's that?
Measuring the Ishtadlis versus Betochen.
No, we're never measuring Ishtadlis versus Betochen. Ishtadlis and Betochen have nothing to do with each other. They're completely different subjects.
Yes, it's separate.
His problem and our problem is they seem to touch. Ishtadlis and Betochen have something to do with each other. Why? Because Hashem tells you to make Ishtadlis in a way that it looks like Ishtadlis is doing something. If Hashem would tell you to make Ishtadlis for a refuah by going like this, right? You would know that the Ishtadlis has got nothing to do with the refuah. But he tells you go to the doctor, take the medicine, have a surgery, do everything, and then know that it's got nothing to do with the doctor. Okay, that's a challenge. Why did Hashem build it that way? That's another story. But that's the challenge. That's the ongoing challenge with Ishtadlis and Betochen. Is my Ishtadlis looks like it's doing something. And you have to know that it's not. That's okay. Like I said, you keep coming back and keep coming back. And then Hashem gives you examples very often. You realize it has nothing to do with you. Rav Nozatzal told me, once I asked a very, very billionaire guy in New York how he became so wealthy. He said, all the mistakes I made worked out good.
All the what?
The mistakes I made turned out good. I bought shares because I thought they were going to go up, but they went down, but it was good because then whatever, and then this happened and that happened, and I bought a building that was about to whatever, and suddenly prices went up in that area. He said, I made a lot of mistakes, and they turned out good. If that happens to you, Ashreicha, because then you see that your Ishtadlis has nothing to do, the etzem, with the end results. Whereas if you're living a cause and event life, you know, then it's a little bit harder to make these distinctions. Dad goes to work every morning from 8 to 5, and then a month he gets a check. And we didn't go to work, they didn't send a check. Now you've got to tell him it has nothing to do with his work. They're much harder in his own for the person. A very hard in his own, but that's what you have to
do. But we see after the event, you see you have nothing to do with what you have done. But
sometimes you don't see it. Sometimes you don't see it. It's not so simple.
But at the moment where you make the action, here you have to have the good kavana. This one is difficult.
Not, and it's not black and white. It's a lot of avoidance. It's not possible. Not possible. First we have to become aware of the sugya.
Yes.
All we're doing right now is just becoming aware of the fact that there is such a sugya called Ishtadlis and Betochen, and they've nothing to do with each other. That's already, you know that already, it's quite a big step. And now slowly start teasing them apart. In many areas. The main areas where we struggle with this is in Betochen and in Panos and Refuah. These are the main two areas. Chinuch. But it's in everything. It's in everything.
He carries the people which bring them. And how they feel, I don't know. They feel they carry, or they feel the
being carried.
They be carried. I don't know.
Shkadis is not the what Shabbat has been provided. What's the bechira? The bechira before shkadis, which way to go? You know, the book which way to go?
In which betoch? In which shkadis to make?
Yes.
So he gave us some criteria.
It doesn't make any difference.
No, he gave us criteria. He gave us criteria that a person has to use in order for his shtadlis to be valid shtadlis, based on your strengths, your weaknesses, your capabilities, what you enjoy. It's a very big criteria he used earlier. To know what the correct shtadlis is. In other words, shtadlis has nothing to do with the outcome. But where does Hashem want me being toil? Shtadlis is not a hatzaga, it's not an act. Because Hashem wants me to be poil in a certain area because He wants me to be Makad Hashem Shemayim in that particular area. So He'll draw you, or you'll be drawn to certain areas where you need to be Isaac in making Ishtadlis. One person might be drawn to doing job A, another guy's drawn to doing job B. Why? Because Hashem needs him there doing what he's doing, and needs you doing what he needs you doing here. But Klape, the panasa that you're going to get, or the refuel you're going to get, makes no difference. Makes no difference. If you think of Ishtadlis as mitzvahs kiddush Hashem, it makes it a lot easier. I'm not saying that it's 100% that's what it is, but there's certainly mafoshim that say that. One of the reasons, he didn't say that, but one of the reasons we make Ishtadlis is to be Makad Hashem Shemayim. So where Hashem puts you, that's where He wants you to be Makad Hashem Shemayim today. And when that doesn't work anymore, it's not that that's not working anymore, He just doesn't need you anymore, He wants you to go somewhere else and be Makad Hashem somewhere else. Yeah. And then how much ishtadlis, and when, and what, and the sugya, not ishtadlis. Big, big sugya. Tfilah is also ishtadlis. Tfilah is also ishtadlis. If you think your tfilah is doing anything, that's also not supposed to. A much more complicated area to grapple with is my ishtadlis doing anything when the Ishtadlis is Tfilah. It was Chizkiyahu Melech's problem. Chizkiyahu Melech's problem was, if I daven, I might attribute the end result to my davening, and that's going to affect my betochen, so he didn't daven. Now you have to be Chizkiyahu Melech to go to bed when you're facing a national crisis like he was facing. But the limud there is once again, the Ishtadlis and the Tfilah and the effort I make has to be done in such a way that it protects and defends my betochen, not affects my betochen. It's a ma'od mesubach, you know, not poshut. Go first work out who you are. In the pantheon of the different levels of betochen, first try and see who you are. Take a look there, go through his five levels of betochen and see where you hold it. A very humbling experience. Very humbling experience. You have the courage to do that.
How did Moshe Rabbeinu rationalize it? In next week's parsha, he davens a short tefillah for Miriam to recover, and immediately she recovers. How does he grapple with that?
Was Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah, I know.
The question's a question. I don't know the answer, but the question's the right question. How did Moshe Rabbeinu deal with the fact that as he davens for Miriam to get better, she gets better on the spot? Knowing that his tefillah had nothing to do with it. But we see with Moshe Rabbeinu is very different. I'll tell you why. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, we see his tefillahs did do stuff. Yeah. The problem. Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs did do things. How do we know? Because Hashem said, don't daven anymore to go into the land, because if he davened one more tefillah, Hashem would have had to let him in. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs did have an impact.
No, but there were hundreds before Hashem said that.
515 tefillahs before, yeah. And yet, had he made one more tefillah, Hashem would have had to answer him. So I don't know what... I said tefillahs are different. Okay, it's another sugya. How that works is entire Perek Beis and Gimel of the Nefesh HaChayim.
But we're stuck at this junction right now, so we just get to the punchline? What's the punchline?
What's the question?
How's it resolved?
How's what resolved?
The dichotomy between the idea that we know that what we do here affects Shemayim, reflect back down into this world.
Once again, how that affects it... No one said Tfilah doesn't have an effect in Shemayim.
But
once again, how come Chizkiyahu How come Chizofen? You have to answer the following question. And I'm just trying to get your question. You have to answer the question is, how did Chizkiyahu HaMelech realize and know for himself that he's not allowed to daven now, he has to go to sleep? Sancheirev is surrounded, called Klal Yisrael, and about to wipe out the Jewish people. Chizkiyahu HaMelech thinks to himself, if I make any shtadlis or I make any tefillah, I may attribute the success of the victory, of the success of the battle, to my tefillah or my shtadlis, and therefore I'm going to bet I'm not doing anything. And Hashem says, you're right, and he wiped out Sancheirev's army while he was sleeping. That's the question you need to answer. How did Chizkiyahu HaMelech know to do that? And how does he do that? When we know that our tefillahs do something. No, chas v'chalila, that's so not what he did. You know, that's not what I said. Anybody yummy saying, once again, you have to listen also. Anybody yummy saying that Chizkiyahu HaMelech tested Hashem? Anybody heard me saying that? Because if I did, I have to bite my tongue. Chas v'chalila, he wasn't testing Hashem. He knew that his ishtadlus and his tefillah does nothing. Hashem's going to do what he's going to do. Question is, what is my chiyuv in the world of tefillah and ishtadlus? And he held that his chiyuv in the world of tefillah and ishtadlus was going to bear. He wasn't testing nobody, chas v'chalila. Maybe himself, but nobody else. You have to answer how he was able to do that. That's your question. Okay, sir? Good question to walk around with for a while. If you want to see this inside and you want to really get to the punchline, open up your Dessler at the end of Michtav Meliyahu Chelek Aleph, in the middle there. It's in Strive for Truth as well, in Volume 2, somewhere in the middle of Volume 2, towards the end of Volume 2. He has two essays, Nais V'Teva, Miracles and Nature, and then the next essay straight after that, I'm not sure what it's called in English. In Hebrew it's called Ishtadlus and Betochen. If you want to see a very good pirush of that, look in Rabbi Tetz's World Mark. When you've worked that all out, get back to me and tell me what you think, okay? Not sure what the punchline is, except that it's a very humbling experience trying to see where you fit into that whole picture. Because at the end of the day, that's what you're trying to discover. I'm not trying to discover really what was Chizkiyahu doing or thinking, because I'm not him. I'm trying to discover where I fit in and what's my correct ishtadlus and approach to ishtadlus in this world. Depending on what my level of betochen is and what I need to do in order to maintain my relationship with Hashem. But you're 100% right. Our tefillah does stuff. The question is, what does it do? So that you have to learn Nefesh HaChaim properly, but even find a Rebbe, because I ain't the guy to learn that with you.
Huh?
He's me, he, once again,
like
I haven't done. Once again, the Chovas HaLevavos has said very clearly that in the world of Betochen and Ishtadlus, your Maisim do nothing. Now you have to go argue with him, because I'm not arguing with him. Ishtadlus Einu Moel Aval Ze Mukhra. Those were his words. Ishtadlus does nothing, but you have a chiyuv to do it. That's what we've been learning. That's what we've been doing for the last few weeks here. You have a problem with that? What's that? I have a problem with that.
Huh?
Once again, facetiousness doesn't get us. The Chovas HaLevavos said that. He's a Rishon. You learn how to learn a Rishon. When you're ready to do that, we can move forward. You have to understand how to learn a Rishon. That's all I can offer you, is teach you how to learn a Rishon properly. Right now, the Chovas HaLevavos said, and he's saying it again and again and again, he just said it now, that's what we learned this morning. The means that you're making have no impact on the end result. You have a chiyuv to do them, and the actions you do, you're going to have to pay responsibility and you have to take a price for them. You did an aveira, you're going to get whacked. We'll get there, we're only level 3 now. When we get to level 5 and 6, when we're discussing your ishtadlus relating to your Olam Haba, you'll see, you're not allowed to betochen there. There your actions are 100% you're responsible for them. But in the world of ishtadlus, to get panosa, your actions have nothing to do with the end result. Now, if you steal in order to make panosa, you're going to get whacked for that. And if you do your business ethically the way you're supposed to, you're going to get rewarded for that. So obviously actions have an impact, but they don't have an impact on the end result. You're going to get what you're supposed to get, irrespective of what ishtadlus you made. That's what I think Pshat in the Chovas HaLevavos says. Ishtadlus doesn't do anything, but it's mukhrach. In the world of mitzvah, it's a mitzvah, so you have to do it. What impact it has on your panasa? Nothing whatsoever.
but we can say it's a bitachon, you have an impact. That means if we have 100%
that's something else. That's, now you just switched from the world of Ishtadis back into the world of bitachon. Okay. We do that often. We mix up the two. Having bitachon itself can change an outcome. Rabotayach b'Hashem chesed is sovereign afilu rosh ha'gomo. A rosh ha'gomo is bitachon. Hashem will give him because of the reward of his bitachon. Bitachon itself has an enormous, enormous impact. But the subject, Yaris, is the world of the correct approach. That's what he's words. Ve'elu derech ha'shimush hanochen bevetochen ve'lokim v'ma'a shenogei le'yechosei klapi ha'kitet ha'shonu shol b'nei Adam. The different relationship that I have with different types of people, the correct betochen I'm supposed to have when it comes to them providing me with what I need. And we use this the marshal of the land. I don't betochen on the land. I plant seeds in the ground. I don't say thank you to the ground because the seeds grew. I thank Hashem. Because you can plant the seeds and they'll grow, they won't grow. That's all got to do with Hashem. Now, if you plant the wrong seeds, you can't blame Hashem. Obviously, you've got to make the right ishtadlus. That's all he set up to now. There's a more challenging area in Yiddishkeit than this. Show it to me. This is where we live. This is where we battle and struggle on a day-to-day basis. A very difficult nisoy. But if you can't separate ishtad and betochen, you're in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. And there's different rishonim. You're going to learn the sugya properly, you're going to take it all the rishonim. We're just learning one right now. You have to look in the Ramban, you have to look in the Rabbeinu Yonah, you have to look in Rashi. A lot of different sugyas. You have to be humble through it all, because, you know, there's a lot to learn. Nani asa. Okay. So we just said, yeah, this is where we got stuck. If you ask it from a strong person or a weak person, it makes no difference. Because they're both equal to do the thing in the same way. This obviously is in the world of betochen, not in the world of ishtadlus. In the world of ishtadlus, you have to ask the right person. But in the world of betochen, it makes no difference because they're not doing anything. They're just the means, and it's via them Hashem will bring the dover. But you have to have betochen in Hashem that He will make happen whatever's supposed to happen. If Hashem will get your request fulfilled by the guy that you spoke to, so go say, thank you Hashem that He fulfilled your request. Go thank the person that helped you for his good heart that he helped you. See, yeah, he's saying you should thank the person. You have to thank him for his good heart. I think you said something like that once. That when we were grappling with the Sakawara Kosa Tog, you have to go out and help you. He didn't help you. The doctor didn't do anything. The doctor did nothing. Are you supposed to say thank you or not? So we have many, many Maisim of Gedolim that said thank you to the doctor and felt you have to have a Kosa Tog. The Ponogachiro, many, many Maisim about that. You have to say thank you. You have to be a mensch. And he said before that you're not supposed to say thank you to these people because they didn't do anything. But Yari's saying you have to thank the person for his good heart, that he did what he did, even though the result had nothing to do with him, but he was mishtadl for you. Hashem brings good things onto the righteous, and he very rarely brings bad things, damage, by the tzaddikim. That means if a person helped you and he did good things for you, you have to recognize that Hashem's been Magalgo Schusel and Ezakai. A parent looks at the parent and says, I want to bring good into the world. Who am I going to use to bring that good into the world? He looks at someone who's got Schusim and he wants to bring Nezek and bad things into the world. He finds a guy that he knows is not so, and he's Magalgo the Choyv unto the Chayev. Hashem doesn't, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't bring to the tzaddik any unrighteousness. Now what happens if Hashem doesn't fulfill your request via this person that you spoke to? Don't blame him. Ah, what an idiot, whatever, I asked him for help and I asked him for a favor and he didn't do anything for me. And don't blame him because he was lazy or he didn't take the call or he forgot about it. The thank Hashem for the good he did you because he didn't fulfill your request. Thank that person. Acknowledge the ishtadus that he made to fulfill your request. Even though he wasn't the one that was zoiche to provide you with what you wanted. And that's how you have to relate to your beloved ones, your close ones, the people that you work with, the people that you're in business with, all these people that you're involved in business and in life with. You have to relate to them like this. That means you do what you have to do, you ask them for help, they do what they're doing. If it comes, good, say thank you, and if it doesn't come, say good, thank you. At the end of the day, you have to deal with Hashem. So you have to make ishtadlis. Very simple. You have to make ishtadlis and make the correct ishtadlis based on all the criteria that we went through. And then know that whatever happens now is from Hashem, and if it's from Hashem, that's what's best for me. So whether the God does what you ask him to do or he doesn't ask what you want him to do, it's all from Hashem. And say thank you to Hashem for giving this person to help you, and thank this person for his toiv lev that he was prepared to help you and that he had the schusim to help you, but he didn't do anything. Therefore, don't get upset with him because he ain't the baldover yet. Hashem's the baldover. You want to get upset with Hashem. Please know what address to send this to.
If I have a company and I have a worker that makes me lose a lot of money, I shouldn't kick him out.
In the world of Ishtadlis, you should kick him out. We're talking in the world of Betochen. You had this guy, you hired him. Your status was the best thing. You checked him out, the references were good, everything was fine, and you hired him, right? Now you lost a lot of money from him, okay? Betochen is, that's what's going to happen. That's what Hashem wanted to happen. Now step out of the world of Betochen, back to the world of status. How am I going to conduct my business tomorrow? Well, this guy's an idiot. Fire him.
But it's the same world.
No, it's not the same world. I'm sorry. That's why we're learning, and slowly, slowly, we'll get more and more hadrocha along the way. You want to say, Dibu, I have a problem. I'm learning Chavis once again.
The battle of Rishon was clearly a point in history where Hashem said, I can either take entire existence in this direction or that direction, and that choice was clearly in the hands of man. So I'm sorry.
You've learned the Ramchal on that says it had nothing to do with Adam Rishon at the end of the day. You've learned that Ramchal with Arizal, you know it well.
First of all, I've learned the Ramchal and I don't know the reference.
Oh, where the Rambam says that okay. I'm just saying.
What about when the
Malachim
go and
just mind your glasses?
You're
asking the wrong guy.
That Malachim go to all the nations and ask if they want Torah. What about the 10 generations from Noah to Abraham, anybody could have chosen to become part of the Jewish people? All existence can go left and
right. No. He's asking a question to the Chavis Lubavitch. I want the Chavis Lubavitch to answer him. You're not asking me. I never said a word. I'm translating Chavis Lubavitch. You have kashas on the Rishon, beautiful! Learn them! First of all, you're not a Talmud. That's number one. To become a Talmud, you have to find a Rebbe. To find a Rebbe is a whole sugya in the Rambam. You have to learn Talmud Torah, learn how to find a Rebbe, number one. Okay? Number two, the Gemara says that it takes a Talmud sometimes 40 years to understand what his Rebbe said. You want to understand a B'diva Recha? This is a sugya that is so simple and so easy we can cross all our T's and dot all our I's in half an hour. This is a lifetime's work that the greatest Nevi'im struggled with. And you want to understand it in 1 second? You've seen Dalet Chelke Shulchan Aruch? You've learned Shkol Shas? We've got a lot of work to do before we come to Kotla Korea. In the half an hour we have here, we're trying to just take baby steps in understanding what we're able to understand. But you want all the answers now? I ask questions. I don't give answers. I'm there to ask questions. The Haggadah, heard about the Pesach Haggadah? He teaches us how to machanach ourselves. He defines 4 people, which we are all those 4 people. And he defines them by the questions we ask, not by the answers we give. I would have thought that Tam's the guy who doesn't know how to ask a question, and the Chocham's the guy that answers all the good questions. No, the Chocham also knows how to ask a good question. We're asking questions. And I'm learning Chavis Halavavos, who is just a hemshech of the Mesorah of Torah Shebal Peh. You have complaints, go to him. If I said anything that's not here, I take full responsibility for the mistakes. But what he's saying, he's a Rishon. Every word is the cheshbon, calculated, and it's our job to understand what we can understand. But if you didn't get it on the first go, that's good news. That's not a bug, that's a feature in computer language. If you could understand this in one go, you'd be the Chovas HaLevavos. And that would be amazing. It's like the guy who comes to you and says, I just don't understand Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Yeah, that's a bug, that's not a bug, that's a feature. For him to understand Reb Chaim Kanievsky, he would have to have spent the last 50, 60, 70 years learning Kula Torah Kula every year, know what Reb Chaim knows, and then he could say, I don't understand Reb Chaim. But for me to say, I don't understand Reb Chaim, of course you don't understand it. How could you understand it? And so Chavad, you don't, because then I can come to you for brochas, I don't have to go to him. Because by him there's long queues, and then by the guy that came to him and said, I don't understand Reb Chaim, for him I could get a brocha straight away. Of course you don't understand Reb Chaim. You understand Hashem? For me to understand Hashem would be a bizarre. Who wants to understand Hashem that I could understand? You need a God that you can understand? It means he's as big as me. If I could understand every word of the Chovas HaLevavos by the first reading, that means he's as big as me. That would be a tragedy. Once again, Shlomo Melech, of course, the wisest man in the blue.
The problem is not us. The problem is the fact that we don't have the hadracha that connects with us. The problem isn't the student. The problem is the teacher.
I take full responsibility. I take full responsibility, you're right. I take full responsibility. If I'm the teacher here, I take full responsibility, but I'm not the teacher here. Chovas HaLevavos is the teacher. And you have to learn how to learn. Your obligation is to become a Talmid. That means sit and learn for a few years. Open up a Gemara and sit and learn for a couple of years and learn and develop a Torah personality and a Torah mind. Then you can come to Chovas HaLevavos on the first day and say, I don't understand, I'm moving on. That's a lifetime's work. If you can understand the Chovas HaLevavos in one go, that'd be great. You're right, you have to find a teacher who knows and understands Chovas HaLevavos inside out, and then he can give it to you in one go. But you chose the wrong place. I'm not that guy. We agreed yet to learn Chovas HaLevavos together. How come I'm reading and translating? I don't understand. Could be anybody here doing the work. There's nobody here that knows, understands less or more about the Chovas HaLevavos than me. We got together as a group. We got together as a group to decide to learn Chovas HaLevavos. I happen to have learned Chovas HaLevavos with big Talmud HaChomim, and a lot of the questions asking are questions I heard from them, and I don't have answers. I happened to sit last night for half an hour with a big bok in Chovas HaLevavos, and we came away with, I think, 16 or 17 kashas in a half an hour vow. That we don't have answers to. Tosfos, by the way, very often ends off a Tosfos with Tzarich Ir. You ever seen Tosfos in like that? You know what the Pele is? After that, there's another Tosfos. I mean, Tosfos had kashas he couldn't answer. Tosfos had kashas he couldn't answer. As was. Of course. The Torah is much bigger than our ability to understand it. That's good news, not bad news. If Hashem was finite, he'd be like you and me. I don't want a God that I can understand. I want a God who's much greater than me. God's like me. Who's God? Zilzul. If I can understand Shas in one sitting, why would the greatest minds of the Jewish people spend 80, 90 years delving into Gemara more and more and more and more? And when they were finished, they hadn't scratched the surface. There's a midrash that says that all Moshe Rabbeinu's learning, all the way down to the Tanoim, the Nevi'im, all the Torah learning is like a dog standing on the edge of the sea, lapping at the sea. That big the Torah is. It's massive, it's infinite, it's God's mind. Our job is to develop a Torah mind. How do you do that? By sitting and learning. How much do you learn? That you have to sit and learn about how much Ishtadlus I'm making in other areas. And all the free time I have I use for learning. But you have to have a Rebbe, you're right. You have to find a Rebbe, 100% right. If you can find one like Shlomo HaMelech, let me know, because I also want a Rebbe like Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech was a Navi. We live in a generation where there are no Navi. Chochem Adif mi Navi. But it's a process. Do you deny that life's a process? That I'm taking one step out of real towards ideal on a day-to-day basis and celebrating that step? Or do I have to arrive at the end result overnight? If you know that and you understand the problem, you'll be fine. You have to know Kul Shulchan Aruch. When are you going to do that? Today? How are you going to do that? You only have now. So what I did now is Kulu Toira Kulu. Well, you're going to wait a long time and you'll be very disappointed when you get to the next world and you realize you have nothing because you didn't put in the effort. You were waiting for the chip. There are no chips. There's hard work. When you put in hard work, you get Siyata Dishmaya and you make leaps that you could never have imagined. That's what's happening to you. Could you believe where you are now? A year ago? Look where you've come to.